Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 11, Episode 5 of Das Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For December 22nd, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jackson Brolic, and I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
皆さん, ohayou gozaimasu. Miles to moshimasu. And also, shout out to my man, MFC Erickson, for that litty Photoshop job of us and Wyatt Coke. And also, Brian Croft, because he won a Christmas shout-out. And also, to a new friend I found on Twitter, Cranky Old Baptist. You know, it's good to know that even Baptist preachers come to the Zeitgang.
Yeah, and weren't you saying somebody, like, told all their friends, like, told 10 of their friends about the show? If people can prove that they've, like, gotten us some new followers, let us know. We'll say anything you want us to say here up top.
Ooh, whoa, that's,
anything.
Wow, okay. Well, those
we'll
are Jack's
do
words.
Anything.
I was gonna be like, hey, we'll send you a fidget spinner or a coffee mug.
Yeah, but, no, let's go with that, actually. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian, Brandy Posey.
Hello.
Hello, Brandy.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thank you.
It's great to have you here. One of our earliest guests. She's seeing our new studio for the first time.
Pretty yeah, sick.
You've seen
it. Pretty.
She saw us when we started. We were at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, in a basically a utility closet.
A tiny closet in a building full of the little scooters. I hate those things.
What do you mean, like hoverboards?
No. Like the little
razors?
Razor scooters. Yeah.
The whole building felt like razor scooters were on
right.
every floor. Like,
right.
Everyone was trying to be an aggressively cool office.
Right, right,
and
right.
you guys are the actual cool office.
Right. With no windows.
Yes.
Actual closet.
Right.
Where people were like, oh, that's an office? And like people, I remember they would give tours of the building. Like, yeah, don't worry about them. They're
right.
podcasting or something.
We don't really know
whatever
what
that
is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Brandy, what's something you've searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
So next year, my resolution for 2018 is to win the lottery.
Mm.
So I've been Googling how Preach. The lottery works. Basically just trying to like...
I believe you buy a ticket, right?
But yeah, but like how... What are my actual odds? Because I've been... In the last couple of weeks, I've been talking a big game about how next year I'm just going to win.
Right.
With all of my friends. Because I feel like... I don't want to call it the secret because I'm from the East Coast. But... I do feel like I can will something stupid like winning the lottery into existence.
You could. You can manifest it.
I'm a good person and my karma is reaching en masse.
What you need to do is just imagine that you already have the money when you buy the ticket. You're like,
yes.
I'm already a millionaire.
Yeah.
But give me this ticket and then the universe will respond.
Yeah, because I feel like the lottery is never won by people who actually need the money. It's always the people who...
You know, the secret is true. You know, that's how I got over my scoliosis.
That's true.
I was like, no.
You just secreted yourself
my spine
out of it?
Is bare, yeah.
There's actually an entire genre of self-help books for very stupid people that is like how to win the lottery and like
yeah.
how to better do the lottery.
See, here's the thing. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I also, my plan
well,
is to win.
Well, there's your first problem.
I buy scratchers.
No, I never even bought a scratcher.
Oh.
My plan next year is to just buy one ticket, and mm-hmm. that's the ticket that wins. So I just need to, like, figure out how to get everything to line up in the right way that day. I'll know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was a drawing on Wednesday, right? Like, I think like the Mega Millions was, it's at 253 million.
Yeah.
We might as well just do this. Let's just get in this.
Yeah.
All right.
What's
Brandy Posey and I, we're going to be millionaires. It's you heard it here first.
Brandy, what's something that's overrated?
Slime. It's having a big moment.
I'm saying just in general.
Well, yeah, but like, have you guys noticed how it's become its own category on Instagram? It's its own thing. People are making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of making slime
yeah.
right now.
We were just talking about that because last week when Google released all their top search terms, the top how-to query was mm-hmm. how to make slime.
Yeah, it's huge.
Wait, I just thought it was because kids are trying to make slime. You're saying there's a bigger slime movement that I'm ignorant of?
No, it's a massive movement. It's a huge subgenre of Instagram of people that just make slime videos, and then it's just them like just sliming around. And then those people also sell slime to their followers and make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And the slime is just
what?
Like...
It's just homemade slime. It's just colorful slime.
And the video is just them... Fucking around with
yeah.
a handful of slime?
Yeah.
Hmm. Fuck
it's
here,
a whole
man.
Thing.
Done as a species.
People's careers are being made off of slime right
have
now.
Have you watched these slime videos?
I have a little bit. Just to be like, what is happening? They started getting...
Hey, hold on. You have a slime account, Brandy.
I do not.
At Brandy Slime?
I'm trying to use the game on getting every... I'm nagging every one of your listeners to follow me. Slime sucks, unless you're
Slime's
cool.
So whack,
unless you
know.
Have, like, cool slime. Like,
there's this cool
I mean,
account called
cool slime.
Posey Slime. This seems
so
pretty cool.
Is When they finally make the slime, what is cool about the slime that they make? Like, is it stuff that like won't like get on your hands, but it's liquidy or what's going on?
I think it's just that people are very stressed out and we don't have mental health care in this country. And that's where the rise of slime has come from.
What the fuck? Because it's just goo.
Yeah, it's just goo. Yeah, that's it. It's like that.
You can't eat it or do anything. It's like some nasty shit. And it just looks like they mixed up some chemicals and made something that would be really hard to clean up and then like spilled it. And we're like, hey, that's what we made.
There's a video on YouTube with 17 million views that's just called 10 Viral Slimes Tested.
Yeah, cool. Dude. Slime is huge right now.
Oh man.
And I really think it is people just that just have anxiety because like slime and Trump happened at the same time basically.
Right.
And I think it's just them being like,
one and the same.
Remember when GAC was around?
Right.
And 9/11 hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And Trump wasn't president. And just slime is taking people back to a place. So it's part of the denial of
simpler
what's happening.
Times. Yeah. When I could chisel a dinosaur out of phloem.
Yes, exactly.
But like some of that stuff was cool. Like the stuff that you could buy and like you could throw it against a wall and it would seem like it was like permanently on there, like you had splattered something wet on the wall, but then you could like pull it off and it would just like magically retract.
And then you're like, see, mom?
Right.
It didn't mess up the wall.
Yeah. Is that what these people are making? Because I feel
but
like.
These are adults.
Oh, it's adult?
No, it's adults. I know a lot of adults that actually have slime right now.
Hashtag slime gang.
Yeah, slime is, it's not just kids.
I just, like, we could just talk for the rest of the episode.
Trying to wrap our head around
me
this.
Just, like, being like, I don't, what's happening? So let's move on to, what's your underrated?
Yeah, before you blow a gasket.
My underrated is Britney Spears' Instagram account.
Oh, yeah. Who else? Someone else.
So Barbara was probably just, was Barbara Gray just on talking about
Barbara
this?
Barbara was on, yeah, a while back. Was it her that I was just talking about?
Because she has a podcast called Britney's Instagram with Tess Barker.
Oh,
and,
that's
right. I don't listen to pop music, so I wasn't really very invested, but I've been listening to their podcast, Britney's Instagram, and following Britney Spears on Instagram. And it's not so much the life of a pop star, so much as an ever expanding web of conspiracy surrounding a pop star.
Right.
Because when you if you really just like apply the red strings to Britney Spears' Instagram, you're like, oh shit, she's just like home alone and can't leave anywhere. And there's this weird conservatorship that's surrounding her
right.
that like her dad sees all the money that she spends. But the Vegas residency is about to end, so she doesn't have to be in public anymore. So what comes next?
Right.
So it's become kind of this thing where I'm like, oh, I never really paid much attention to Britney before, but now whenever she posts, I'm like. What does this actually mean? What are you trying to tell us? Yes, exactly. Because there's no way for her to get out of the conservatorship unless she can hire legal counsel. But she would have to get that legal counsel approved by her dad and the people that run the conservatorship. So it's like every one of her posts, you're just like, oh, she's showing a little fashion show of the dresses she bought. But then she'll like post like, let me shop and nobody will get hurt, literally. And she'll say stuff like that. And you're like, are we...
Wait, what?
Who are you communicating with? Like, Britney's just trying to...
Let me shop and no one will get hurt.
Literally. Like, that'll be her joke that she throws in the end of it. And I think it's just, like, she wants to be independent. And these are her very, like, basic ways of reaching out. Like, she's the most basic person. And it's really amazing just to, like, watch that try to break free.
Almost like it's its own religion. Like, in the way that, like, Taoism is, like, the simplicity of just, you know, being one with the energy of the universe. It's just, like, being Britney Spears.
Are we
like,
have to help Britney?
The most basic.
Watch, the next post will be, like, an AR sitting on top of, like, a medical journal article about Stockholm Syndrome or something. It's like,
seriously. It's crazy. It's been really – it's kind of been a really fun – casual conspiracy theory to check in with from time to time that doesn't actually affect my life in any way.
Right. And so. Then is she really in any danger? I mean, like, she's got millions of dollars and she's being babysat as a human. But unless they're she's trapped, though, too.
She can't really do anything.
Was that, like, the fallout of her, like, mental breakdown?
Yeah. Like, everybody was – because the mental breakdown came around the same time that everyone was trying to get upskirt shots of her, like, paparazzi, like, literally making her crash her car. Her kids were getting taken away because she was, like, erratic. That's, like, when the conservatorship – came in at the same time too, like that all kind of dovetailed at the same time. So like her dad was taking control of her money completely and her kids were being taken away, and the only reason she signed up for the conservatorship in the first place is because she couldn't see her kids unless she did.
Wow.
So she was like forced into it on the back end.
I mean, we shouldn't say this on mic, but maybe we need to start our own like serial podcast, really trying to figure out how we hashtag save. Free Britney.
Yeah, right. Free Britney.
Interesting. So her dad is who has her captive, is what we think.
He's the one that runs the conservatorship.
Dude, that's so interesting.
And she has
a Disney film.
She has a court-appointed person that is like supposed to be on her side, but that person just petitioned to make more money. So there's a cap for how much those people can make, mm-hmm. like that the court appointed person, but they just petitioned to like get a raise for how much work they've been doing. So it's that person doesn't actually have Britney Spears's.
Yeah, they're there for the check.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God,
so Britney. Is her dad like her legal guardian or the legal guardian of her kids or something?
I don't know exactly how that part breaks down.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll
figure that out in the new spinoff podcast. Right. Hashtag Free Britney.
Yeah.
All right.
Just there's a lot of craziness.
All right. Let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world. We talk about pop culture, the news, and just everything that makes up the global shared consciousness of the human species. And we like to start out by asking our guest what a myth is. What's something that we believe just in general, in our movies or just in, you know, in people you generally speak to that is something that humans just have wrong in general.
That the good guy always wins.
Done.
Boom. Cut and print, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's so weird. I feel like a lot of the stuff with we see so many movies where like the third act is always like, and your hero is now rising and will be better and stronger and bigger and better and all of that stuff. But in real life, you're like, well, no, that person usually just gets cancer.
Right.
Or just goes away.
It becomes an airbrushed t-shirt that people wear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They get their look gets commodified and marketed and their story gets mistold and used for propaganda in all sorts of different ways. And I think that's like a lot of the stuff with Trump is also people just waiting for like, surely a hero will save us.
Right.
Like superhero movies are so big now.
Which is why everyone's like so invested in Robert Mueller.
Yeah.
They're like, he is the savior. Yeah. Hopefully. Like,
can we give him a cape? Can he just have a cape? He deserves a cape.
Like, this dude is just trying to stay in the job right now.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So. Yeah,
I totally agree. We've been completely ruined by Hollywood endings to the point that like you notice it when you don't get a Hollywood ending, like with many of the seasons of Game of Thrones prior to this one, where things were just like that was explicitly the goal of some of the books was to actually tell stories that were more in line with how history actually operated. Yep. And when things would happen that were actually more true to history, it was fucking shocking. Like that, that guy who's like built up as the hero and he goes against the mountain and, I guess no spoilers for a three-year-old show, but things don't go so well for that guy.
Oh, damn it.
And it's really? Just...
broke my heart.
Yeah, but it's like so shocking because we just assume that things will
don't
like
want it.
Deserve tough. That, that mm-hmm. because someone deserves something that will happen to them.
Right.
And in the words of Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, deserves got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's just a continually hard lesson that I feel like I have to learn every year of like, oh, no, just because you're like trying to be a good person doesn't actually matter.
Right.
in the grand scheme of life.
Yeah. And I think for our last like full in format episode of the year, that's a good place to leave people.
Happy holidays, guys.
Just purge it up, y'all.
Yeah. Well, I do think it's appropriate for 2017.
Yeah.
So this is how things sometimes work out.
Yeah.
Just got to keep fighting, as DeRay McKesson said in an episode that he was inexplicably on with us. I still can't believe that.
Which is only yesterday.
Yeah. Holy shit. Wow.
So, all right, let's get into the stories. Right now, there are a couple high profile people stepping down. They're not really giving full explanations of why they're stepping down. Your boy Papa John. Miles, I know you're a big fan.
Fuck no.
I don't think I can say that the real reason is because he's an alcoholic cokehead who is a creep and had to settle like 4 sexual harassment cases because I don't think any of that's public. But yeah, they're using the fact that he said that thing about the NFL, and that seems to be what people are going with. So that's what we'll go with, too.
But they didn't really even the statements explicitly call that out, right?
Right. No, yeah. They're not saying anything.
Yeah, because they don't want to be like, well, it's not because our revenues are plummeting right. or the stock prices are plummeting or that we had to publicly distance ourselves from white supremacists like because right. of his comments. Right. No. I mean, it's just you know, he'll just be stepping down.
Mm. Yeah. He just wants to go on vacations. It's fine. He's done.
You know what? Yeah. If they really want to save the business, change the fucking pizza.
Right.
It's nasty.
I don't eat it like our. Pizza. I didn't eat it because of the NFL shit. I ate it. I did not fuck with Papa John's because the pizza was terrible. It was too sweet. I say this, I don't know, maybe once a week or whatever. But like, you know, Domino's, they figured it out. They switched it up. And now the new crust is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, you know what Domino's did? Tripled the amount of cheese that they put in their pizza.
Oh, is that what it was?
Just everything is cheese now. It's all cheese.
Hell yeah.
And Papa John's is... Like, the way they spend their calories is they put sugar all throughout the pizza, and it's disgusting.
It's so
it's
nasty.
It's so fucking gross. Like, nobody wanted sweet pizza.
Sweetza.
Yeah. It's gross. Papa John is allegedly not a good dude, but we'll see what comes out about
him. I mean,
just
Google images
time.
Of him. He looks sweaty in a lot of photos. You're like, yo, you don't sweat like that because you're a good guy.
That dude has not slept in a long time.
And anybody that insists that you call them Papa or Daddy, just in general, is not a good person.
Eric Schmidt from Alphabet and Google has stepped down for unspecified reasons. I mean, I guess he's saying, you know, it was just time.
Because he wants to like work on like I think like defense use like AI capabilities for defense is like what his like passion is.
Sure,
but
cool. So we'll see.
There's like a New York Post article that they're saying like his surprise exit rekindles womanizing rumors that apparently like he fucked around his wife a lot. I guess but like.
In
this article, they were saying like a lot of journalists have been going around to old flames trying to see if there was like a Benghazi style story around him. And apparently right now they haven't found much. So they're not sure what is going on. But who knows? It's still young.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
That's true. And sometimes these things don't come out. You just never find out. Like there's been a lot of people who like I'm thinking of like some college football coaches who just. Step down and you're like, that was weird. You just stepped down for no reason and then got another job like a year later. Urban Meyer.
I get moved around like priests.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like what?
Allegedly.
All right.
Why would you cheat on your wife when you could build a robot to cheat on your wife with?
Too? Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. And
literally put her in sleep mode.
Yeah.
Take off.
And just then, assume all those guys have that.
There's still some weird sort of quasi rumors that Paul Ryan is going to step down in 2018. It's sort of in a in between state. We're not totally sure. He's denying it, but for some reason there was just suddenly a flood of rumors to the point
it
was the main headline on Drudge that Paul Ryan's stepping down in 2018. And then he was like, that's not helpful to me or my career, so I'm going to deny it. So we don't know. He has vociferously denied that he's going to step down in 2018.
I mean, I could see why he would, and I can also see why he wouldn't, because he hasn't fully fulfilled the prophecy of the horrible fuckbag who wants to just get rid of entitlements and everything that's good about like our safety nets for human beings in this country.
Exactly.
But, you know. Maybe he got enough of a raging boner from the tax bill that it's enough to carry him through the end of his life. But I feel like he's still, you know, because wasn't the thing like that article he was like fantasizing about getting rid of Social Security and Medicaid and
all
shit.
He
so
wants. Yeah.
I feel like he still's got it. He still has some unfinished business.
Maybe he'll get visited by three ghosts over Christmas, you guys.
Right, exactly.
Anything is possible.
Right. At this point.
So that wasn't Benghazi because we don't have any. Indication that it has anything to do with Benghazi.
Oh, yeah, no, that was just a stepping back. We're not even in Benghazi yet.
Right. Now, quick check-in with Benghazi.
Benghazi!
Michael Irvin and Eric Davis.
Getting caught up at that NFL
getting
network.
Getting swept up in that NFL network suit. Just everybody was harassing the stylists at the NFL network, apparently.
And sadly, this one was like a woman who worked under the stylist. So this is a different woman, but still same network, where like Eric Davis apparently was like commenting on her flexibility when she'd bend over for
stuff
and like hugged her and pressed his genitalia against his
But it just seemed like there was almost like a system. All right, this is where we put the women for the guys to harass.
Right.
They're in the styling
in
department.
This dark room.
right.
And it's wild. In the article too, the woman said that the stylist had warned her
Right.
Was like, hey, you're young and you're nice looking. I would be careful.
Yeah.
And then I'm surprised her thing was like, okay, I'm not gonna work here. But
right.
What can you do?
You gotta get those bills paid.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oof.
Yeah.
There's a movement to get Matt Damon, his cameo removed from Ocean's 8 because Ocean's 8 is supposed to be sort of a feminist film and Matt Damon's recent comments are annoying, but, you know, we'll see where that goes. There's also a weird thing with Meryl Streep going around. So, you know, Rose McGowan at first seemed to be implying that Meryl Streep knew about Weinstein and was complicit. And then Meryl Streep came out and said, I didn't know. And then all these weird, creepy posters started showing up all around L.A. Where Meryl Streep's eyes were like torn out and she knew was written over her eyes. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, or we weren't quite sure where that came from, but it turns out it's a right wing artist who is doing that.
Right wing male artist.
Yeah.
Who literally said it was like revenge for her anti-Trump politics.
Right. Yeah. So that's just something to keep an eye on is Benghazi being weaponized against the left, like sort of the right wing using the left's outrage against them to try and, you know, get revenge. We obviously saw Trump talking shit about Al Franken when Al Franken was accused of sexual harassment. Meanwhile, Trump has like 13 outstanding sexual harassment and assault accusations just floating out there.
Well, he's the boss at the end of the video game,
right?
Guys,
yeah.
We're gonna get there.
That's his final form.
Yeah.
Benghazi's final form.
Yeah.
Well, it's wild too. Like, it's back to the Meryl Streep art thing. Is like, what's wild is that this guy is directly ripping off Barbara Kruger's like art style of like doing the text with like the Futura font, and like anyone who is familiar with her art, has a very specific look. So like when they asked this fucking shitbag about like, you know, like, hey, so you're also using like a feminist artist style. His response was like, it bothers me that people believe we were in any way influenced by the butt ugly feminist hack Barbara Kruger. It was supposed to be like the posters for the post. My man, come on. I think you didn't even know who Barbara Kruger was and then
right.
You figured out. You were familiar with that art style because it's very pop.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then you're like, oh, no.
She created that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice
she,
try, Jake.
She's probably fat.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back.
What a break.
Time for some Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
And there wasn't too much going down in the tabloids this weekend.
You know, because I think the year's winding down.
For this
and
week.
Yeah, people are starting to even check out, even like... In the tabloid world, rehashing old shit.
Do you guys find that? Do you know most of the people on these magazines? Because I feel like I stopped buying them because I never recognize anybody anymore.
I don't.
Yeah.
I know the main people. One thing I was really surprised by was how much Jenny Garth is still in tabloids.
Oh.
That I'm like, what? Okay. But yeah, for the most part, like, there are a lot of like TV celebrities who I'm absolutely not familiar with.
Yeah.
But. We check in for the celebrities we know and love.
Yeah.
but a lot of standard Nixon and LBJ behind the JFK assassination. They keep using the same picture of the JFK assassination. Melanie Griffith, drug relapse, it says in big letters, and then in tiny letters, pals fear. So they found someone who said they were friends with her and said that they were worried. National Examiner is telling us that Prince Harry's real dad has been banned from his wedding.
Who's his real dad?
Real dad is James Hewitt, who is a redheaded person that Princess Diana apparently once slept with, supposedly after Prince Harry was born. But
maybe he's
the National Examiner is running with that. One interesting little story is In Touch has a big story about how Melania, like, there's going to be a big reveal because Omarosa has, you know,
left, $10 million tell-all.
Right, left the White House and is now in the run-up to her $10 million tell-all where she's going to talk about all of the things she witnessed behind the scenes. I was initially intrigued by this because that's how Donald Trump tends to turn on a wife. Like, that's how you know his current wife's time has come and he's going to trade her in for a new model, is that he will start leaking shit about them to the tabloids. Like, that's how he did on Ivana. There were all these stories about how Trump is having an affair with Marla Maples, and, like, you would think that that would be something he was keeping under wraps, but in fact, he was the one talking to Page Six of the New York Post about that. So that's something to keep an eye on, because if the Omarosa tell-all really has some interesting details, that could be interesting.
So you're saying self-destruct sequence may have begun.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably 7 years in the making anyway. But.
Right.
Well, I could also see him just being like, I know what'll get everyone off the scent of all this Russia.
Right.
The Ross and Rachel of like my Russian right. shit. What if I just have a messy divorce in the middle of all of it?
Yeah, there hasn't been a president who's had a divorce.
And he is hell bent on just being different in any fucking way.
Yeah.
So if that means having a weird divorce.
And I mean, his wife did straight up like slap the shit out of his hands when he tried to hold her hand a couple times during the year. Like, that is,
she full on hates
that's him. Messy. Like, that's not the sort of you'd think that they would have just replaced her with a robot may have, because there are some rumors that, certain Melania appearances were handled by a stand-in.
Yeah.
Although that was fake.
Yeah, probably.
But this is a comedy podcast, so let's act like it's real.
Let's act like it's real.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And I believe that.
But I don't know. That is one potential area of interest for anybody looking.
Could you imagine that Omarosa is the savior?
Brought down
because like whatever's in her book is like so wild, it's like, no,
I mean,
really?
Is that,
I could see it,
Omarosa being the savior of democracy, is that as strange as like 5 years ago if I told you that
Donald Trump was gonna be
the Hitler of America?
That's true.
Literally anything's possible.
Right.
Tara Reid will save us all.
Yeah,
right. I'm hoping. Exactly.
Although her brittle bones might not work, because she's also in the tabloids.
She's also all over the place. Yeah.
They're always skinny shaming her.
Yeah. I think Omarosa just wants Michelle Obama to shake her hand. And she's like, anything I can do to earn that respect.
Right.
And if it means taking down
as
a president.
An equal?
Yes. Exactly.
Let's see. In OK Magazine, they're saying that, you know, Brad Pitt, he's sober now and he's a perfect dad.
Yeah, that's true. Brad Pitt, there are big things happening in the Brad Pitt industry. He is now allegedly dating
Brad Pitt
J-Law and
Jennifer
has,
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. They would make good looking children, I'd imagine. And because of his sobriety, he is now the perfect father. According to Angelina, and presumably that
and his publicist
quote that I saw was like Angelina's pals,
right.
Yeah, but he's now getting to spend time with his kids again after apparently having some pretty shady interactions with them there at the end.
And is Rihanna actually engaged?
So
is that, do we know? Is that confirmed?
That she's engaged. She's been dating a billionaire. And they took a picture of her hand and were like, see, she must be engaged because she had like a big diamond ring on her ring finger. What they don't mention in that caption is that she has a giant ring on every one of her fingers. Like, it would be weird if she didn't have a ring on her ring finger.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Rihanna can buy her own diamonds.
Right.
She doesn't need to wait for a man to buy her a diamond.
Well, yeah, this guy, Hassan Jameel, apparently he's got dough. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's got even more dough than Rihanna.
Damn.
I could buy a diamond that is your entire net worth.
Yeah.
You could wear that. Also, in the Globe, they're saying they found Steve Irwin's death video, and there is a weird video image of a stingray and Irwin in the water with like his full-on khaki outfit on.
Right.
I don't imagine that that's how he was diving with stingrays.
Right.
But
it's
anyway.
Like, holy shit, they're going to show video
and
of...
then, yeah, you look in tiny print, dramatization.
Right.
So we don't know.
They just stuck a guy in a khaki outfit in a pool and like photoshopped a stingray in there.
Yeah, they're also saying that that Camilla Parker Bowles is dying and Charles is kicking her out.
Right, because she was like shady about Harry and Meghan Markle's relationship.
This feels like a slow news day at the Globe.
It does,
doesn't
it?
To be pulling up Steve Irwin, it's like there's a lot.
Right, to be like, we found the video. No, we didn't, but we found it on the cover.
It's a long time.
And then they also say
guys.
Tanya Harding, still on thin ice, notorious skaters fight to come back from blubber, booze, and poverty.
Right.
I can't believe that.
On the cover, they say that she is fighting for her life.
Yeah.
And then on the inside, it's like, yeah, she kind of has a drinking problem.
Yeah.
I think she's just living in Portland, and everyone in Portland just kind of has like a casual drinking problem.
Right.
That's whimsical.
Right.
Whimsical drinking.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what happens up there. She's fine.
All right. I think that's going to do it for Blood Watch. Hugh Jackman, still married to his wife of 20 years, is one of the like lead stories.
He still loves his wife.
Yeah.
Like the story is he still loves his wife.
Yeah, basically. It's like how we've made our 20-year marriage work.
They are
like
a weird couple.
In the same boring ass way other couples have made theirs. Yeah, I will say, so I had the opportunity to wait on Hugh Jackman and his family at a restaurant I used to work at, and he gives off a weird vibe of like, I am an alien who is pretending to interact with a child for the first time. Like, he was like holding the kid up and like showing the kid to everybody in the restaurant. Like,
weird.
It was the first time he had seen a tiny human before. He was like, ah, look at this child.
Look at my progeny.
I am overjoyed with my progeny.
I love my son.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I love my son.
Yeah, it was very strange, but
do you like
know.
To order an appetizer?
Hey. Yeah, right. So you want the calamari or you don't?
Yeah. All right. And then moving on from Bloyd's, Obamacare signups are actually keeping pace. This is some good news.
True to roof.
Yes.
Good news heading into the holidays is that people are actually signing up for Obamacare, despite the fact that the Trump administration has tried to just, you know, they've halved the period to 6 weeks, the open enrollment period. They've slashed advertising by 90% and cut funding for in-person enrollment aides by more than 40%. So they're trying to make it like invisible and just like something that people won't sign up for so that then they can be like, see, nobody likes the Affordable Care Act. Obama was a clown. I'm the best. Essentially, that is what happens in his dreams. And that's not happening. People are like, oh, no, I need health care. And everybody's signing up like it was any other year.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting more phone calls this year than I have when Obama was still president about Obamacare. Like, I've gotten so many robocalls that are just like, make sure you sign up. Make sure you sign up. So somebody is funding something.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like on pace to have more than last year's signups because there's still like a lot of people like California. You can still sign up until the end of January.
Yep.
So it's not the numbers could probably be better than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing I just when I think about this is like, you know, they blew up the mandate in the tax bill because, you know, Susan Collins was promised that the stabilizing bills that she wanted to stabilize it would be, you know, put into law.
Yeah.
But like the thing that story was so misrepresented because the idea those bills functioned when the mandate was still in place. So it means fuck all to have this other stabilizing legislation put into place because it's not nearly going to have the effect that it was purported to have. Because that was based on the original mandate or the Obamacare mandate being in place.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, I'm glad people realize that Obamacare is something they want. And please sign up. If you are in a state that you still can, please do. Because, you know, insurance is something good to have.
Yeah. And Mitch McConnell was actually on NPR, which, like, we can all trust Mitch McConnell's word. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We can trust him.
But he was saying that he doesn't know about the House, but the Senate is certainly not going to make it a priority to repeal health care. They're moving on.
Yeah, you can believe everything that turtle man says.
Right.
It's fine.
Yeah, and I guess the individual mandate being repealed, I had sort of assumed that is going to completely torpedo Obamacare, and Trump has said, you know, we essentially repealed Obamacare by doing that. But, you know, there are a lot of things to indicate that's not the case. Like the first year, the penalty for not signing up for Obamacare, you know, wasn't that high. And, you know, people still signed up. And, you know, there's just reason to believe that it's not going to totally kill Obamacare. And there's also the Trump administration behind the scenes has been working with states to actually shore up Obamacare. So it's almost like a thing where he realizes Obamacare is the law and it's just because he hates everything having to do with Obama because he's a racist monster. He chooses to just, you know, outwardly be like, fuck Obamacare, we repealed it, we killed it, I'm the best, I'm better than him, pee on that bed that he slept in. That's, I guess, some good news is that even though he made a big deal about repealing it, he really can't because he's not that good a politician. So, yeah.
But only the future will tell what ultimately comes of all this, right?
Right.
But I think if we just let him put his name on Obamacare instead.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would totally solve it.
I really think it would.
So if we just fucking put his name on Obamacare and, like, gave him a monument in, like, Monument Park in D.C., that would solve everything.
Yeah. All he wants. Give him a statue that he can go to every day and be like, oh, it's my statue.
With, like, a huge erection.
Yeah.
Like,
just
the
biggest. That's just big-ass hands. Big
just
hands.
Giant hands and, like, a huge dick.
That's
and,
all
like,
he wants.
Yeah. He would be, our world
hair.
Would be saved. Yeah. Just, like, a beautiful mane of hair.
Do you think he'll have a presidential library? Do you think he'll just, like, take a McDonald's and slap his name on it.
It'll probably be a presidential newsstand.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't really read books, but I don't know.
Love that page six, though.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So yesterday we were talking some shit about Ed Sheeran. You know, there was this New York Times piece where he and the people who worked on his song, what's the song called?
The Shape of You.
How inspiration struck them, and they didn't even know they had created like the greatest song that had ever been set to a recording device. But like there it was, and our super producer Nick Stumpf was like, you know, that song is actually just basically TLC's No Scrubs, but they totally don't acknowledge that. But it turns out they had acknowledged it back in, I guess, March of this past year. Somebody tweeted at us and pointed out that after the song like had been written and he tried to put it out there as like his own shit, he was like, oh, yeah, and added TLC and the writers of No Scrubs to the list of people who wrote The Shape of You, because,
it was, it's funny when you think about who the actual co-writers are. It's Tamika Tiny, T.I.'s wife, and Candy Burris from Real Housewives of Atlanta, because they were in Xscape, because they were the co-writers of that song. So those are the people who are getting a little check off of that.
Nice.
Yeah. So shout out to Candy Burris, my favorite real housewife of Atlanta.
But go watch that New York Times piece, because at no point are they like, yeah, we were trying to write a song, and then we were like, oh, yeah, I just heard No Scrubs. That song's good. Do you think we could get away with just, like, stealing that and, like, putting my white ass on it and making that a song? Will people listen to that?
Total Lannister move.
Yeah.
You know,
people
are like, he was miscast in the Game of Thrones cameo. And I'm like, no. Apparently, he's stealing from people. It was a better casting than people thought.
God, that fucking made me want to headbutt my TV.
So, this morning, following the midnight release of the new Will Smith joint Bright, Miles and Nick and I watched the first 30 minutes. We watched as much as we physically could watch of Bright.
Yeah. As much as we could handle.
And
how much time permitted? Because the reviews have been awful, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people have been dragging it.
Real bad.
They're saying it's like a $90 million mistake. So we're like, oh, we should let's see for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can report Will Smith is still, very charismatic. I like watching Will Smith on camera. I was actually like frustrated by how good the parts around the script were. Like it was like, man, if they had just made a good, well-written police movie about actual race, that might have been good.
Yeah.
But there's this just awful, fucking stupid, heavy-handed, racial allegory where they like add, orcs, elves, and fairies. And, it really like doesn't work in so many ways. Like mainly because all of those creatures are physically and mentally different from one another, which human races are not. But like they're like, yeah, but orcs are good at this thing because they're stronger, and orcs are stronger and they are physically different than, you know, humans. And that's like part of the mythology. But the races aren't physically different, and like implying that they are like is actual like racist eugenics fucking craziness. Like it's just like the most wrong-headed, stupefyingly just awful script I've ever seen from Max Landis.
Just with jokes like fairy lives don't matter today. Like, he like beats the shit out of a fairy, like with a broom. It's like,
oh God.
So fucking bad.
It's wild, man. And like, also, man, the fucking gangsters, they are dressed so fucking whack. Like it's from a 90s conception or like an idea of what gangsters look like, or well, what like Chicano gang members look like in LA.
They haven't been to the hood. They've just like watched Boys in the Hood and are
like the last film.
They're like, okay. That must be what.
So everyone should have a Gumby flat top.
Right. It's oof. So
there's like a part where like
bad.
His wife's watching Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan Experience.
His wife is watching the Joe Rogan Experience. Why is his wife watching Joe Rogan?
No, like, wife has ever watched Joe Rogan.
Right. No.
And it's weird. It was just a way to shoehorn in like commentary about this orc. Like he's the first orc on the LAPD. But, you know, what's funny is despite how fucking awful the movie is, we were all still compelled to see it through.
Like, incredibly watchable.
It's wild.
It's incredibly watchable garbage.
Yeah, it's wild. It's one of those movies. It's so bad. You have to keep watching. And like, yeah, you might be like, this is so fucking dumb. But then you're like, well, what's going on with this magic wand? And it has like the most tired, like fantasy cliches, like literally things just called a magic wand or the Dark Lord or, you know, orcs or like the magic task force.
Yeah, that's the best part. Like the FBI shows up and then they like flash a badge and the guy goes, oh no, magic task force.
Right.
It's like, yo, that's what you thought? There's like a part where they put a sign on the back of like the orc, like a kick me sign. And you're expecting it to be like some magical play on kick me or like some like orc themed. And he turns around. No, it's just kick me. It's like, there's so many like, we'll fill this in later things that were just left in there.
Yeah.
It's like one of the great monuments to mediocre white men.
And nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism, for sure. Max Landis.
Damn.
Apparently, this is like what one of the highest prices anyone had ever paid for a spec script. He should honestly never work in this town again, and probably won't once people find out like what he's like.
How awful the movie is.
Yeah, and how bad the movie is, but also.
Sounds crazy.
What he's like.
I'm surprised Willow and Jaden let this happen. Yeah, it feels like
they got their own careers now. Jaden is moonwalking the shit out of his shows. I don't know that clip blew my mind. He's on his own path.
I didn't see that. What happened?
Oh my God. So over the weekend, there's this festival called Rolling Loud, and it's like all these rappers. And during Jaden's set, he killed the moonwalk like to a degree that the internet has not seen in years.
Really?
Yeah. And like, I was literally on my toilet on Twitter, and I know I'm old because I watched it and I literally went, boy, like it was so smooth. I was like, yes, Jaden, do that shit. Like, cause the mechanics of the moonwalk are easy to understand, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get it, but not many people can pull it off with the finesse that Jaden did. Like it was on Michael levels. Here, you can just.
Oh shit. Whoa. Wow.
Jaden,
that's a move.
Boy.
Yeah.
Damn,
hitting
Jaden.
That moonwalk. So yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
But the Magic Task Force and Will Smith, look, to be honest, we're going to keep watching it. I'm going to finish this movie because. It's so, again, it's a car crash in slow motion.
You gotta see it
and
all.
And there's magic, you know, but.
As somebody that watched Jack and Jill in theaters, don't worry. I will never judge you
for
that
Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah. I didn't pay for it. Don't worry. I snuck in after I saw something else.
Well, I'm still paying a Netflix subscription, so I'm technically paying for this.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Al Pacino is also in it.
Mm.
And he does a rap at the end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Al Pacino raps in Jack and Jill.
And he has a crush on Jill.
Yeah.
Who is Adam Sandler in a wig. And that's funny because it's actually a dude.
It's a dude.
Having a crush on a dude.
And then that would mean he's gay.
Sick.
Hilarious, doggy. Wait, didn't his movie just get fucking trashed too?
Yeah, Al Pacino has a movie out today called The Hangman that is at a whopping 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
it's impressive.
What's that Metacritic score though, Jack? I know you don't fuck. We know you don't fuck with Rotten Tomatoes.
I haven't looked it up because
it's too depressing.
I believe Rotten Tomatoes. When Rotten Tomatoes says 0%, I'll believe
right,
them
when it's
on
zero.
That.
Yeah.
All right. That's actually going to do it for today's episode and for the year.
Wow.
Of 2017. Daily Zeitgeist. We are going to have some special holiday and year end episodes for you guys next week. We're going to do, movie of the year, music, song and album of the year, person slash everything of the year, and then we're going to tell you what we thought about Star Wars. So those are going to be like four mini episodes we're dropping next week, but this is it for Daily Zeitgeists proper for the year of 2017.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a
it's 2 months
third
flew by.
Of the year. Yeah, exactly.
October 9th to today.
Right.
Shit has come and gone.
Almost like we've only been doing it for a third of the year, but I want to thank my parents. No, I'm just
well, if you allow me, I would like to thank God.
Right. First of all.
However you may perceive God to be. I would like to thank the How Stuff Works Network. I would like to thank my mother and my father for letting me be a loud child, and that's it.
I would just like to thank God for speaking through me into this microphone. I turn it over to you before we start recording every day. And
but really, he's just like eating a bunch of mushrooms.
That's right. That's how I say
He's speaking to me and through me.
Brandy, thank you for being on this last episode of 2017.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure, as always.
A great way to close it out.
Where can people find you?
I'm on the internet at Brandazzle on Twitter and on Instagram. My website, brandyposey.com, has all my tour dates. I'm a stand-up comedian, so I tour country a lot. And then I have a podcast with Barbara Gray and Tess Barker called Lady to Lady.
And it is good.
It's very, very fun.
Damn good.
Yeah.
How are you spelling your name there?
BrandiePosey.
Miles. Where can people find you?
You can find me buying last-minute Christmas gifts, probably. But if you're interested in the social media stuff, at Miles of Gray on most things.
And you can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is The Daily Zeitgeist. We are on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find our episodes and footnotes, where we link off to all the articles we use as sources for each episode. And that's going to do it for today. I guess we'll be back next week with our short holiday-themed episodes, and then the week after that with more Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a special Daily Zeitgeist presentation of the Jamie Loftus vision. Santa University, we talked about it on a past episode of the Daily Zeitgeist. It completely lives up to the insane expectations
that you heard her describe on the show, too, I think, like, earlier in November.
Jamie Loftus, one of our most frequent and beloved guests, has written a five-hour feature-length film called Santa University. We excerpted probably, like, 30, 35 minutes worth of those scenes. Miles appears as Dan Santa, the pro tag. I am Goth Santa, among others, Dean Santa. It is a tour de force by your Daily Zeitgeist crew.
Anno played Gal Santa.
Yeah.
What's the other one you played? Oh, and then you also played Mike Santa, the father.
That's awesome.
It's going to be dropping this weekend, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, so gather your family around the hearth.
Yeah.
And throw this on.
And get ready to...
for these Yuletide blessings.
And get ready to have your family be severely weirded.
Yeah, actually, be the weirdo, put the headphones on, and just go to like the bathroom and lock the door. Like, you don't want anybody to listen to this. But it's crazy.
Shouts out to super producer Anna Hosnier, super producer Nick Stump, and project manager Sophie Lichterman, and How Stuff Works, I guess, for putting us on. And because we have Brandy, a ska expert, in our midst, Brandy, I'm going to let you tell us what we're going to ride out on for the year 2017.
Let's just go out on a little Jingle Bells by the Scatolites.
Oh,
okay.
Pick it up now.
What year are the Scatolites from? Are they?
Pre-9/11.
This is definitely a pre-9/11 world you're about to enter, people.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
Pre-9/11. All right, that's going to do it for 2017. We will be back in 2018. Bye.
Bye.